Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must-listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Today I have Francesca Gamble all the way from London, and she is the founder of 29 London, a global communications business, and the Global Talent Network Group, which is a VIP business supporting brands connecting with VIPs in luxury and lifestyle space. Now that sounds really cool, Francesca. I want to know a little bit more about that. Francesca has provided strategic consultancy and executive integrated campaigns for a plethora of brands such as Dolce and Gabbana, BMW, Sky, Coca-Cola, HSBC, Diego, Bacardi, Caprice Holdings, Virgin, the list goes on. And Nike, of course. Career highlights include the Olympics. Was that you actually performing in the Olympics or marketing?
Marketing. I don't think I would be performing that.
Traveling the world with Prince Harry. Oh, goodness. There's some stories here. And what is it? Centre Ballet Polo, Bacardi.
Yeah, that's his
Morocco Grand Prix. Grey Goose Cannes Film Festival. And Bombay Sapphire at Frieze Art Fair, PIMS at Wimbledon, and executing Lulu Guinness debut London Fashion Week show. And you're on here on the We Are Women podcast. How exciting for us and everyone. Wow.
So very exciting for me. Thank you so much for having me.
No, I'm looking at this bio. I'm so interested in a whole lot of concepts. The Francesca continues to work with world-renowned VIPs in the public eye through her business she founded in 2015, 29 London Limited. Francesca is an industry partner with the London College of Fashion, a Vital Voices mentor and a mentor at Soho House Group. She has received first-class honours in fashion marketing and communications, set up her first non-profit business while studying A-levels and second non-profit business while at university. How have you fitted all of that in? That's my first question.
I don't know. I don't stop working, probably. It's probably the answer, simple answer. But I love what I do. So, and I've always enjoyed working from quite a young age. So it's kind of in the blood, I think.
How exciting is it? Does it ever become blasé working with these people?
No, not at all. I think the work we get to do with a lot of the celebrities, and we have worked with celebrities and high profile people sort of throughout my whole career. I just treat everybody the same. You know, for me, they're not famous and for what they've done necessarily. I just look for wanting to work with good people and treat them like humans. And that's first and foremost, I think, the most important thing. And I have worked with some very high profile people, and that comes with lots of complications, such as bodyguards and minders and, you know, a whole entourage. But I think something I'm sort of quite good at and something I enjoy perfecting and learning is just, you know, working with humans and how, you know, we interact with one another. And that exchange for me is at the very core, the most important part of our business and how I operate as well.
And that's an important factor, recognizing that you are working with humans with all of the foibles and issues and that everyone else has in their daily lives as well. Yeah. I like that term, working with humans.
Yeah. Well, it's important. I think it's quite often overlooked, and especially in the industry that I work in, I think people do get very excited. And, you know, when they hear about who you've worked with and what you do, everyone gets excited. And maybe I should get a bit more excited, but I generally don't. Just kind of cruise through and on to the next project, usually.
Has there been a favourite, though?
Celebrity. Crikey, it's hard to pick. Everybody's very different. I would say Jason Statham probably up there as one of the best in terms of just being a really nice guy, and funny and down to earth, as well as being, a complete global megastar. We walked the pit lanes in Abu Dhabi with him for the Formula One, and just the love that he received off everybody, it's quite phenomenal when that happens. And that happens only a small handful of times, when, somebody really sort of turns everybody's head, and are completely adored by so many people. So that was lovely, lovely to see. And he was a great person to work with.
Excellent. What do you do for him? No, what do you do?
It's very, it's so from a celebrity perspective, we help brands who want to connect with celebrities. So when you see, when you go on the Daily Mail and you see all the stories of all the celebrities out at parties or events or working with different brands, that's kind of our job, is to get that to happen. So whether it's getting, like a new cat brand at the moment, Sheba, which is obviously a global cat brand, we work with them to get their celebrities into their campaigns. And then we work with the advertising agencies to film and create all the content. But we manage and negotiate all of the contracts, which, as you can imagine, with celebrities is quite big. So looking at their usage rights, image rights, length of terms, financial implications. So we have quite a big global network. So brands and companies, so even businesses, hospitality groups who want celebrities into their restaurants or hotels. It's anybody who's looking to connect to that sort of VIP space, which is a very hard space to reach. It's a hard space to navigate in. But we've been doing it for a while, and I think we're quite a trusted place for people to come, and make sure that they get the best from us and the best from the celebrities. Everything we do is contracted, so it makes things much more secure for the outcome, and for brands and for businesses. Working with celebrities over influencers, for instance, sees a huge return on investment. Sales will go up, hotel rooms do get booked, places do sell out. We also work on sort of guest listing. So we do all the Wimbledon VIP experience. So all the VIPs you see, celebrities turning up, we're heavily involved in all of that as well. So I think people think celebrities just happen to turn up at these things, or, how do they get invited? Well, we're kind of behind that, I'd say. Yeah. And then
That's
we help with all
really good
the,
to know.
and then we do help with all the PR. So we also have 29 London is a PR company I founded just over 10 years ago. So we focus purely on telling brand stories. So bringing the story to life, the narrative, and really understanding what that business is trying to say and communicate it to the world. And it just so happens working with celebrities is a way you can tell your story, which is why I set up the second business, as the need for that was kind of growing.
And that's such an important factor, and that's really relevant where we'll get into it, with the small businesses as well, is telling that brand story. But it's why would that celebrity be the right celebrity to tell somebody's particular brand story? And I see it that, and I can't think of anything at the moment, but I see some of them get so it's so wrong that it just. Oh, there were
Yeah.
telecommunications ads that were running here in Australia, and they had. One of the, I think it was, they must have had a lower budget, a retired, I don't know who he was even, a retired American basketballer, I
Yeah.
think. And it was just dumb.
Well, yeah. Well, that's what we try and plug those gaps, because we come from a strategic perspective. So because we have a big history in brand building and looking at that narrative part and what makes sense, that's what we try and plug in when it comes to working with the right celebrity. We have data to back that up as well, to make sure that we are aligned from that perspective. But often the thing that presents all of us in this industry is somebody at the top, somebody who's working in the business might be obsessed with that basketball player and has been like a lifelong fan. And that's ultimately what a lot of it ends up coming down to is somebody's personal opinion on just who they love. And it might not be strategic and it might not be right for the customer. We try and navigate that as best we can because ultimately we've got to get something right that fits for the customer. It's not just a personal preference. But as I said at the beginning, when it comes to celebrities, people do get overly excited and they get overawed quite quickly if they're meeting, their all-time hero. So it's good to remember that you've got to keep things back on track. I think a good brand that does do it really well, and not that we're part of this company, is Skims. I think, Kim Kardashian and Emma Greed, they have done a great job using celebrities to promote a product.
What products is that? I'm just wondering whether that relates here in Australia.
Skims, yeah, you should have it over there. It's like control wear, for
Oh,
women.
okay. Yeah, I know what you're talking
Yeah,
about.
so big. Yeah, they do very well because I think with businesses, what you have to understand is that you're always peddling the same product, pretty much, or small variations. And what a celebrity can do as a face of a campaign is allow you to tell different stories, but still using the same product. So it can reach different markets and different demographics, etc. So it is a very valuable tool. It's just not many people know how to access it or feel like it's quite a closed off space.
So talking about that, how did you get into it? I mean,
I don't know.
what was the for you to go, as a 10-year-old, this is what I want to do,
This is not what I wanted to do. I wanted to ride horses.
Oh, well, there you go.
I would have ridden horses. I think I grew up in a very big family, sort of 30 cousins and having very big family parties and events all the time. So I think naturally my skill set's quite sociable and into people anyway. It's into hosting, it's into, hospitality, and a lot of what we do is fits in that area. And it's only in after I finished university, I found out about PR and what those skill sets needed, and I thought it kind of fitted me well. And yeah, from sort of 20 years ago when I started, celebrities were there, but we worked with they were very different back then. And I worked heavily in the sports arena with sort of famous sports stars at the time. So I kind of like always dipped my toe in it, and I think as I started on my at my own business. It's kind of part and parcel of the job is to work with celebrities. It's just now that I sort of spotted a bit of a gap in the market and has now created a separate business that purely focuses in on that aspect. I think naturally, as a founder, you're constantly evolving your businesses. Doesn't matter how small they are. You've got to constantly look for the gap and look for the next thing. And that's something I'm quite good at doing and having that kind of holistic approach on the business. And we are in an industry, especially in the PR side in marketing, it is the first thing to get cut in a recession. It's inevitably the area that doesn't have the biggest budgets, but it does have the most amount of fun. You do get access to some of the most amazing things, and that kind of balances it out a little bit.
I can imagine. Where did the 29 London come from?
I was 29 when I set it up, and I'm now, well, you can guess how old I am. The business is 10 years this year. So,
That makes a lot of sense then.
yeah, I think somebody told me it was like Saturn orbits the sun and takes 29 years or something like that. It was like a pivotal age I'd read somewhere. And I thought, yeah, okay, we'll
If
go for
you
that. I
look
didn't
in
want to.
numerology,
What's
two
that?
and nine adds up to 11, and 11's a power number as well.
There. Well, there you go. Yeah, well, I'm into all of that. So I mean, any little elements I can add in. But I didn't want to put in my business and my personal name. I thought it was the business is already about me. And I think as you're starting up your own companies, it is hard. You've got to decide which way you want to go. But the reality is, even if I did call it my name, or if I didn't call it my name, people know it's still me. So actually,
Yes.
there's no getting around it.
And that's a really important factor, isn't it? My business has had a couple of different names since I started in 2007, and I still call the business Speech Perfect, but now I sort of sit within my own brand name. But that's because of where I am now in the business, and it's
Exactly. It's
people
a
know me, and I'm not going to sell anything.
no.
It's just something I'll keep doing until I kick off eventually.
Well, it's good. You have to keep evolving it, I think. And I think it's nice to have a brand refresh and things.
Absolutely. And so obviously, you know, not everyone can hire. Oh, so I want to come back to influencers. You said not influencers.
We do work with influencers, but they are just very different from how we work with celebrities. They're kind of, different entities, really.
Right.
But
yeah. Yeah. So, you know, with people in their own small businesses, then that realm of celebrities to promote their brand is not what works, but it's telling the stories to. And this is something I'm extremely passionate about, because that's what really is happening with the celebrities. It becomes a story, doesn't it? It's just relevant to a brand.
Exactly. Yeah, I think when you're working with small businesses, and if you've got a small company you're looking to grow, the way you could work with celebrities is from an equity basis as well. So you don't have to pay them to get involved in your telling your story, but you could bring them on board as part of the journey. So they, you know, they're invested into your company and have an equity stake in it. So it's another interesting way of actually trying to grow the company and being clever about how you do that, really.
Okay, I'm thinking of Hot Rock. Is it Hot Rock cafes?
Hot Rock. Hard Rock.
Oh, Hard Rock, sorry. I'm doing this interview in the afternoon after a very long day, and it's just, we get times often when I'm interviewing people from the US, it's very early morning for me and later in the evenings for them. And yes, I'll get the brain functioning soon, Francesca. Hard Rock cafes. I know a lot of the American actors invested in those. So,
I think if, again, you know, if you've got the, you know, somebody advising you, and that's something that we help other brands do, you know, we can help advise on how to navigate that. And I think it's without a doubt, it's really important for brands to even consider, especially ones that are on a, you know, a fast trajectory to growth. It could be a very strategic and smart move, but it can also go horribly wrong. So you do just need to be, you know, you need to have the right people around you, essentially.
And the right contracts in place.
Absolutely.
So now, you know, coming from that space yourself, so I imagine you started up as a one-man band and now got something quite global as well. It's, you know, how do you get that mindset? I mean, what is it about you specifically that you think that you've done this well?
Well, I don't really view it like that at the moment. I still think I've got a long way to go. And maybe that hunger is what keeps me going. Like, nothing ever is quite good enough or finished enough or perfect enough. So I'm constantly striving, to be honest. It's not often I kick back and say, God, that was amazing. You know, I let other people often say that, but it's not really something that comes from me. I think over time you have to go on a self-development journey when you work for yourself. I think it's inevitable. You can't jump that spot. You know, I know a lot of things that we see out in the press and on social media especially is really pushing this narrative of get rich quick and how you can, you know, make your millions and how you can just, you know, be an overnight success. And it just is, it isn't real. It just isn't real. And I think that social media has made some of it real for a very small percentage of people who have managed to jump on certain things quickly, but it is for the majority of people, it isn't realistic. And I think that what goes on behind the scenes in these businesses is huge. In small businesses, it's massive. You know, you have to be hyper organized. You've got to be really consistent in turning up every day. You've got to overcome a lot of sort of mental hurdles to be able to have that passion to get out of bed every morning and do your thing. It is very different. It's very hard. And I think it takes time to nail your routine. I think it's important to have a great routine. If you don't, I think you end up getting a bit lost in your own business. I think people can go a bit off track, and there is no playbook for any of this. You've got to find your own way and sort of take on the information that you see and try and apply it to your own life. But a lot of people take on information because there's so much out there now with podcasts and social media, et cetera, and all the professionals telling us how to run businesses. But the reality is you've just got to take nuggets and sit back down with yourself and have a hard conversation and figure out which part you're going to take forward into your business and which part is not going to be relevant to you.
That's
And
such an important aspect to do that. I was working with someone this morning that's got about five different balls in the air and getting nothing done and achieving nothing. And they're quite diverse as well.
yeah,
And
it's very,
even
I
as we were
can.
talking about which one to focus on and just stay focused on that, there was distractions all the time about the other things that she enjoys doing. But then has no
Course.
income coming in. It was
Oh
that,
yeah,
yeah.
I see that all the time. I think sorry. The joy of being entrepreneurial minded is that you have these great ideas and you have this great passion and strive for life, but keeping yourself on track to one thing is hard. I think if you can juggle a few things, I think it's great, especially because the entrepreneurial mind is not necessarily one of formulaicity. It doesn't just follow one path. So I do think it's nice to have things juggling. I've certainly juggled lots of stuff and constantly find myself doing my own side hustles to my own business and things. I've really had to hunker down and learn. But I think it's because, you get excited and you see these things and you want to do it. But ultimately, you've got to start to put things into categories of what's going to bring you in the money and what's your bread and butter and what's going to keep the lights on and, pay your mortgage versus what's just a nice to have. And then I think you then need to do some time calculations on actually what time are you allocating to each of those sectors and which part is bringing you the most income, but the most joy, How do you balance it? Because money isn't everything. You've got to balance all the other parts of your life out, and then you've got to be okay with that. And often I hear people complaining or moaning about things, and actually, they do have a choice. You have chosen to do those things or to work in that way. And so I think there's got to be a point of where you've got to have some more realistic conversations with yourself about what brings you happiness and contentment versus, what's going to pay your mortgage? Because they can be often very different things.
I often have a conversation with my clients to say, what do you want your life to look like in 10 years? Now, I'm not talking about a goal to get there in 10 years. What do you want your life to look like in 10 years? And not many people think about that. They just keep doing without that. Okay, so what is it in 10 years' time? Do I want to? If I'm 29, do I want to be retired in 10 years? Probably unrealistic, but if you're prepared to put in 90 hours a week and give up your family, well, then that might happen. Or, but it's what does it, and that's something I have done throughout my career,
That's great.
even getting into senior management in companies, but staying there to go, well, in 10 years, there, well, that was 10, 15 years ago, was to say, I want to travel the world. So, yes, I will stay in this position, get very well paid, and take all my long service and holidays and had nothing left by the time I left 20 after 20 years because I'd used it all up to travel. But that's what I want my life to look like. So you do that. And now at the other end of it, it's getting the freedom that I've got to here, jump in the caravan and travel around Australia as well. So
I think often we're not really wired to have that much freedom in our thinking. If we go back to like the caveman, we're not, our brain is sort of still this 2,000-year-old brain that's kind of fixed in sort of hunter-gatherer, put your head down, work, and then lift it up at the sort of the very end of your life at sort of 70, 80 years old and think, wow, what just happened? I still think we're away, quite away from getting out of that. And I think that daring to think differently and to have freedom as part of that thinking and to dream about a life that maybe is very different from where you're at is hard, and not everyone can do it. It's definitely a muscle that needs working and needs to be flexed. And I'd encourage anybody to kind of get a pen and paper out and actually just start writing down freely, every crazy idea they've had or every like idea of their life they've wanted to hopefully lead one day and what that looks like, because it's a freeing process to actually try and do, and it's amazing what might happen or how close you actually might be to some of those things that you think are really far away. And often, you're only a few stepping stones away. You're not light years away. And I think it's a lovely process to do, and it helps you then have some more foresight when you're down in your business and you're in the trenches. You have that kind of that beacon of light at the end that you can feel like, actually, I'm getting closer to this now.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I do remember when I was in those manager roles, on my screensaver was the next holiday destination. So it was always on the screensaver. So when I got to the office each day, I'd turn my computer on, and there's the
Yeah,
next holiday.
amazing. That's awesome.
As soon as I booked the tickets, I'd change it, even though I hadn't got there yet. As soon as I had the tickets, I'd change it to the next one after that. So it meant always. There's always that destination to, literally a destination to get to. With, taking it now back to small business. Actually, I want to ask something. How, because I know England was locked down even more. Well, we were lucky here in Queensland. The Victorians weren't so lucky, but England, over 2020, 21, 22. How does that go? When you're in your type of business as well, when there's no events happening, that's
It was awful.
yeah.
It was terrible. But we did a lot of influencer gifting online and celebrity gifting. So a lot of our clients turned to kind of at-home experiences. So we were quite quick on trying to change the narrative on how we turn up, and sort of trying to build community from that perspective. Some things inevitably stopped because, physically, some of the big global events just weren't happening. But other brands still managed to kind of, we managed to kind of jump on, the whole at-home experience, and that worked quite well in the gifting. And actually, we saw everybody wanted it. So instead of usually sending things and it getting lost or people not bothering to care because they're too busy with their life, everybody was sat at home. So they were loving the brands and the businesses more and more.
Yeah, that's great. And you may not have been able to get the celebrities physically to an event, but still utilizing that space.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
Yeah. And that's part of, and you've said this a couple of times, change the narrative. That's such an important aspect. It doesn't matter what size business you are and what you're doing, it's constantly being aware that changes are constant.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in today's environment, the political landscape is so uneven. It feeds down to everyone's businesses. It can't be ignored. And post-COVID, things haven't really picked up wildly across the globe yet. And some aspects are probably worse off, in fact. So I think that, we've got to keep changing and evolving. Otherwise, businesses will stagnate. People will stagnate. So I think it's important we keep looking outside of ourselves to figure out how you can keep growing and moving the business forward.
How do you do that if you're not used to doing it?
I think it comes down to mindset first. It's just the willingness to be open to receiving new information and maybe receiving existing information differently. I think you need a coach. I think having a coach is wildly important. I'm not saying that just in the presence of an expert.
Okay. And coaches have coaches.
She didn't pay me to say
No,
that.
but I appreciate it. Thank you. But coaches have coaches.
Absolutely. Yes. And I have a business coach. I've had him for sort of 3 or 4 years now, because I got to a point where I knew I needed to think differently, and I have creative outlets. I've got a sort of a business brain and a creative brain. So I have to kind of service the two very differently.
That creative brain that's the distracting one, you know, some of the shiny objects, I could imagine.
The one that jumps off in another direction. And but I get that through. I love fashion. Fashion is kind of my obsession, so I try and express it in that direction. But yeah, it does feed into the business. But I think that a coach really helps kind of unearth where you're at and what you're looking at and trying to see what you're looking at differently. That's the most important thing. It's kind of changing the narrative, I think, for me. It's just a bit of a reframe. And it's sometimes it's just super subtle things that you've just missed. And that's why I think it's important to slow down. I think yoga, meditation is uber important to get your sort of to get your psyche in. That works for me. Not doesn't work for everybody. I just found for me and the personality I have, high intensity exercise makes me too energized. Then I'm too in my head. So for me, I just need lots of grounding. And I can think my best at that point. And often, if I've got challenges in the business, the best thing I can do is go out for a walk. That those things serve me, and I can make the best decisions and think clearly about how things may need to change.
I'm with you about going for a walk and getting some clarity. The other thing that I find I get most clarity is when I get in the shower too. The amount of great ideas that pop
True.
in when you're not thinking about ideas and the things that come to you. And also I find when I'm away from the workplace, if I'm holidaying or sitting around a campfire, then that's when I look at things differently as well, because you've stepped out of your business. And I think that's an important aspect to remind everybody, that to find a way that you do need to reframe, change the narrative,
Agreed.
and look what works, absolutely works for you. So when you were talking about routine as well, that's part of your routine, the yoga and the meditation.
Daily. Absolutely. I have to. I walk for an hour a day, do my yoga for about 40 minutes, half an hour, and meditate within that. So, and then often journal and do some reading in between when I get the chance.
So you're a busy person. So people saying I'm really busy and can't fit this in, that's just an excuse, isn't it?
I'm an early riser. I do like to be up around 5:30 usually. I just it sort of it fuels me. I like to be up early when everyone else is still asleep and it's quiet, and that's I get my best thinking time done. And I don't look at my emails in the morning. I do have a PA. I have to say that's probably the first hire in the business. If you were looking to make any hires, is a PA. I think it's the best use of money. And my PA is amazing. She's been with me, I think, maybe nearly 10 years now.
Okay.
So she's my savior in lots of things. And like I've just been moving house, for instance, and I couldn't run the business without her support and move house at the same time. So it's really like it feeds into all aspects of your life.
It's so important. And I have a VA that's based in Malaysia, and it's not quite as easy with a phone call, but a quick email and then the responses there, it makes it, things get done that you
Done quicker.
that you're not wasting your time with your expertise attempting to do. And it is such an important aspect of it to recognize how you might get support and not try and do everything yourself. S points that you find that, working with other women in business that you've come across, what holds them back?
I think for women in business, from my experience, I think a lot of the time it's just not speaking up and just sort of saying what they think at that time. I think often holding back or being reserved is a big thing. I think it's slowly changing. I think women are more empowered in the workplace than maybe they have been previously, but I still think, men and women are fundamentally different. Trying to put them in the same category isn't right. Women have completely different needs, and emotional makeup is very different to men. So I think both sides being more understanding of one another, rather than looking like it's a competition, in the workplace, is something that continually needs to evolve and change, and women need that support. Women are fundamentally different. Most women, go away and have families and children. That fundamentally changes you as a person, and it changes the way you turn up for work. And businesses do need to be better at supporting that. And it still amazes me that it still feels like such an alien thing when a woman says they're going to have a baby. Everyone's like, "Oh my God, what's going to happen to the job?" Women have been doing this for hundreds of years. So it always amazes me that corporations don't have things better set up to support women.
And I'm very much the believer in the right person for the right job as well,
Agree.
and not just putting someone in a job because they're women or they're minority or they're disabled, but to put the right person in the right job. And there's
I
jobs
agree.
that women are so much better at than men.
Yeah.
But some women might be extremely organized and that might be fit them. And then there's other women who don't have that organization gene, but they are really super creative. And again, whatever it is, it's the right person for the right job. But it's
Agree.
recognizing who you are and what you're good at. And it's the same if you're in your own business. What are you good at? What do you need to, we talked about getting help with something, but recognizing those and enhancing those skills. I'm a big believer in enhancing the skills that you've got rather than trying to fix the ones you don't have.
Yeah, agreed. That sounds great. Great advice.
Because one, it's so much, it's you just get someone. I've had a bookkeeper for years. I can add up. I got 100% in maths when I did my diploma, but I don't like doing it at all, and it takes me t twice as long to do it as it does her. So
Yeah,
get someone else to
exactly.
do it. That was most my first hire was the bookkeeper.
Look, yeah, to be fair, that's a very important hire in your business. Janine, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to nip off in a minute. I've got to jump on this call in got to jump on a client call at 8:15.
No problem. I just want to quickly go through those three takeaway points and then
Yeah,
how people
perfect.
can get in touch with you or how they can recognize your work around the world.
Well, first of all, I guess my three takeaways would be just make sure you're always having fun. Like, it's got to be fun. I think if you lose that, then you are going to struggle to get out of bed every morning. You've got to love what you do. I think the second thing is consistency. Find out what it is for you and stick to it. And then I also think that you've got to make sure that you've got a good network and team around you. I think based on what we've just talked about in this podcast, it's really important that you do make first hires. Really important. You're not just there to kind of hire your friends, get the structure in the business in place early on, and it will set you off into the future in a great place. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we are at 29 London and the Global Talent Network Group. Two Instagrams you can follow. You'll also see me on there as Francesca 29 on Instagram, and we can link in the show notes as well.
Yep.
But it's been great. Thank you. I'd love to
Excellent.
chat.
Thank you, and thank you so much. We've changed times around, and it's later for me and early for you, but I really do appreciate you being online. And thank you, everyone, all listeners, for joining us again for this episode of the We Are Women podcast. Remember to go to JanineVosper.com, book a strategy call. We can have a conversation about anything that you might have heard on the podcast today, or anything that I can help you with to help you in business and in life. Have a great day, week, month, wherever you might be in the world. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the five most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.